The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Every time I think about Memorial Day or 4th of July or Veterans Day, there's a passage of Scripture that always jumps into my mind that I think about. And in Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance." So the Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on the inhabitants of the earth, and he who fashions the hearts of them all, he understands all their works. But the king is not saved by a mighty army, or the warrior is not delivered by great strength. The horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. But behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, and those who hope in his loving kindness or mercy, to deliver their soul from the death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. So let your loving kindness or mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning there with verse 13. When we come to think about Veterans Day, the thing that we think about Veterans Day, in my mind, what happens is we combine this day with the idea of service. Men who've given their life in service. I remember a young man that I went to school with. Actually, we graduated together. The name of Marvin Sanders. Marvin Sanders and I both went to the Marine recruiting station on the same day, intending to join the Marines. I came back home that week, and I started dating my wife, Karen. She was going to Louisiana Tech, so I changed my mind. Instead of joining Marines, I went to college. Marvin signed up for the Marines. I saw him a few years back now because he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he went to Vietnam in the middle of the war and was shot up, wounded, came home, crippled up, with all kinds of emotional problems. And I'll never forget that it was only by the grace of God that I didn't walk in those same shoes. He went to be with the Lord as a result of his injuries and whatever had happened at an early age. Then I think about my brother who served 20 years in the Navy and retired. My brother-in-law who served 20 years in the Navy. A nephew who served 20 years in career people. I have an uncle that when I preached his funeral, the thing I said about my uncle was, as he served in Vietnam, that my uncle was the strongest man that I believe I've ever known. He was physically strong. I can remember as kids, we were trying to put a basketball goal up in the pasture by our house, and we couldn't get that pole out of the woods down to the house. And I remember my Uncle Farrell walked down there with us one day, picked that thing up by himself, put it on his shoulder, walked to the house with it. He was strong physically, but he was strong spiritually, emotionally. But when he came back from Vietnam, he wouldn't talk about it. And when he did, he cried. And he wept tears because he said, "I saw so many children walking the streets out there who had nobody to take care of them." And he could hardly stand to think about coming home and leaving those children on those streets. I think about my friends who have touched my lives. And I tried to get in contact with one of them yesterday all day long. And his number's been changed. I don't know what that means. Probably, you know, he was getting ill. Probably means that he's gone on to be with the Lord, because I've always been able to get in touch with him. But he was stepped on a mine in Vietnam. I've shared this story probably with you before. Blew both legs off. One arm was severely damaged, had fragments in his brain. Spent months in a hospital in Japan. And while he was in a hospital in Japan, a Christian nurse witnessed to him, and though he had been raised in church, he had never trusted Christ. But in that hospital in Japan, he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And after months, he came home to a hospital in California. His wife flew out to meet him, and they come to find out that she had trusted Christ in a E.J. Daniels crusade in the same week in which he had trusted Christ in the hospital in Japan. I never get amazed at what God does in people's lives. He was my friend. When I drove up to the parsonage the first day when I became their pastor, he was on top of the roof stringing lights on top of a ladder without any legs. I'd come in from seminary, he strung Christmas lights on top of his house. He and I would fish and hunt together. You know, he'd always wear blue jeans. He folded those blue jean legs up under him when he sat down. And we sat on a little island one day on the creek. It was cold that morning, ice everywhere. And when we started to leave, his pants was froze to the island. And we laughed and talked about it, and I threatened to leave him there, you know. We were good friends. I think about Wayne Givens, member of our church at Hammond, was shot by a sniper in his neck, paralyzed him. He fell over in his helmet, had a little bit of air in a helmet, and breathed when they rescued him. He was never able to move anything but just one hand. He ran an electric wheelchair with a one hand. Loved football. I made a commitment a long time ago that I couldn't stay up late on Saturday nights and come in and try to preach on Sunday mornings. And I mean, that was something that I made years ago, and God worked on my heart. And there's some things he just asked you to give up. That was one of the things I gave up. But Wayne loved football so much, his family got tired of carrying him. So I got to where on a Saturday nights when there was football games at LSU, we were about an hour away, I'd drive his van, we'd go to the ball games. I did it for him, not for the game. He run that wheelchair, and I probably shouldn't have acted that way, but he did. But anyway, we'd start out in that crowd. When you start coming out of the crowd of the stadium, he would say, "Get behind me, Roy," you know. And I'd get behind him, he'd take that wheelchair and just zero a path through there. He'd bump into people and they'd turn around and apologize to him. You know. Wayne and I were good friends. He touched my life. And I tell you, all these people are to be commended. And everyone has a story they can share. The tragedy, the sacrifice, the price they've paid. They've been commended. And we've all heard it before and seen it, been on the internet this week. Someone wrote that a veteran is not a veteran, not the preacher who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who's given us freedom of press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who's given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who's given us freedom of assembly. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who's given us the right to a fair trial. And it's the veteran, not the politician, who's given us the right to vote. And it's the veteran who salutes the flag and who serves under that flag. I thank you, the veterans, for serving. For devoting yourselves is often a great sacrifice of life, of family, friends, health, sometimes even their own physical life. Our lives of service has not been wasted. We stand today with freedom to be able to worship, to be able to thank you, to be able to talk about our country, to be able to talk about our flag, be able to talk about patriotism, most of all, be able to talk about Jesus and to worship him freely because those who have given their lives in service. And we're grateful. Your life of service has made a difference in this country. It's made a difference in our lives. It's made a difference in our world in which we live. And we're grateful. But now I want to make application of that truth about service to the Christian life. See, it's a great thing to serve America. I believe, you know, there are those today who hate America, but I'll tell you, there's no other country in the world. You got a caravan of 7,000 people trying to get into any other country in the world. Folks, there's something good about this country or they wouldn't be coming here, okay, or trying to get in here. It's the greatest nation that in the world. We got our problems. We're divided right now. But folks, it's a great thing to serve in America. And it's one of the things that demands a commitment on all of our parts. We need to be committed to pray for our land, committed to pay the sacrifice of what we have to do in order to continue for our nation to be what it needs to be. But it also gives our lives direction. But it's our service for Jesus Christ is the only thing I know of more important. If we never served our country or we didn't live in America like today, we could still give our lives away in service to our country. And there are people all over the world in other countries who are doing that. Some of them at a great sacrifice of their lives and their hearts are giving their lives away in service to Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that is going to last for eternity. America may fall one day. And in Scripture, I don't see where we're going to be in the last days, to be honest with you. But every theologian can come along and debate something different about that. But at the end time, God's going to be in control, and I don't see where we're going to be there. So I don't know what's going to happen in America. I don't know how long it's going to be before Jesus Christ breaks through the air and comes back again. But I know the only thing that's going to last forever through all of eternity is our service we give to Jesus Christ and the dedication and surrender we've given unto Him in all of our life. Folks, that's the thing that's important. That's the thing that's most important. That's the thing that is going to stand forever and ever. The only thing that's going to last throughout eternity is our service for Him. It's the only thing that's going to count. We need to make sure our lives are not wasted and that they count for eternity by giving ourselves away to Jesus Christ. One of those passages of scriptures that stood out to me when I read it, actually in the King James Bible, it stood out because I read it in the King James translation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in I'm going to start reading with verse 13. But he said, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, that all that you do be done in love." Then verse 15, Paul says, "And I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanus, that they were the first fruits of Achaia." And the King James Bible right there, and that word jumped out at me because I've spent some time in my life, 2 years as an addiction counselor, says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, most modern translations translates it devoted are committed themselves to the service. But the word, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, we live in a day in a society of addiction. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, phone, sex, whatever, sports. We're addicted to a lot of things that kind of drives our actions and our activities and the freedom in which we do. There's things in which we're devoted to, and we don't give those things up. Maybe things we enjoy, maybe things that has a grip on our lives that we have a hard time turning loose from, but there are things in which we ultimately our lives are devoted to. It controls our lives and our actions, where we spend our money and what we do with our time, those things that are addicted. Well, here the word addiction does mean devoted or committed. But here they devoted themselves to the service, the ministry, or the service to the saints. Now look what Paul said about Stephanus and his family. First of all, he said they were converted. See, there's no way in the world you can ever give true service to Jesus Christ until you first get converted. You got to get saved. Most lost people don't give honor to Christ. Saved people, though, when they give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and they do something in His name, then they honor Him. Paul here called the household of Stephanus the first fruits of Asia. They were the first ones to be saved in Achaia. And according to the first chapter of this book, in the first chapter, Paul said that Stephanus' household was one of the few families that he baptized. Paul said, "I didn't baptize many people." He named some of those he did, and one of them was the household of Stephanus. And the point is that there's no way we can be devoted to service for Christ unless we're saved. See, we were created to live in relationship with God, and that relationship with God is what gives our life meaning and purpose as we live. But when we sinned, we destroyed that relationship. But when Jesus came into the world, He came into the world in giving His life in service to us, And he took the wages of sin. He did everything that was necessary for us to be forgiven and, you know, and to be saved. And he restored us to that place where God could use us and to his purposes in this world. Now, we must repent of our sin. We must turn our back upon sin. And we must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, receiving him and accepting the salvation that he came to give us, you know, confessing him as Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, says the scripture. And then, and only then, can our Christian life begin to have meaning. We begin to devote ourselves to service that he's called us to do. We can now live in relationship with God again. And the greatest discovery of our life is to find out God's will for our lives, and the greatest achievement in our life will be able to do God's will. It's the saddest thing about our world today is we have so many people who walk an aisle, claim to know Jesus, pray the prayer, ask Christ to come in their heart. You look them in the eye and say, are you saved? They say yes. But they never serve God. They've missed out on the joy of the Christian life and what it's all about. Those, it's about service, giving ourselves away. Now, that's the second point. Not only they converted, they were committed. See, they were committed to that life of service, addicted to the service. There's many who've never learned that truth. We need to learn that it is not about ourselves, but it is about God. That's what our Christian life is about. It's not about whether I enjoy the church or whether I, you know, like that style of worship or whether I, you know, do whatever. There are times and God puts us in places that may not be pleasing as well to us, but nevertheless, we have to be committed to follow his way better than any other ways we talked about last Sunday. It is a time of where we give ourselves to service in Christ and do what he wants us to do and give our lives away, be committed to serving Christ. I read a cute little story about a Sunday school teacher who was teaching the children the benefits of serving others. And she said, the reason that God put you in this world is to serve others. All the kids were quiet for a minute. And then in a moment, one little girl piped up and said, well, what are all the others here for? I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she's feeling. Friend said, terrible, came the reply. My head's splitting, my back and legs are killing me. House is a mess, the kids are driving me crazy. And the caller said, listen, go lie down. I'll come over right away, cook lunch for you, clean up the house, take care of the children while you get some rest. And then I'll fix dinner for Sam so that when he gets home from work. And this lady says, Sam? Said, my husband's not Sam. She said, oh, dear me, I must have dialed the wrong number. There was a long pause, and finally the complaining lady said, does that mean you're not coming over? The challenge for us as Christians, folks, is to be more than just converted or saved. It's to give our lives in service unto others, addicted to service. We need to examine our lives and say, where can I serve? What can I do? Ask ourselves, are we in the center of God's will for our life? What does God will for us? Of course, that's the only thing that gives life meaning and satisfaction. And then those who give themselves away in service are to be commended. As we try to commend our veterans today, I think Christian people ought to be commended as well. In fact, that's what Paul is doing in this passage. He's closing the book of 1 Corinthians, and he talks about here in verse 17, he said, I rejoice the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Archaeus, because they've supplied what was lacking on your part, and they've been refreshing to my spirit. And he said, therefore acknowledge such men. Commend such men who serve. And folks, those who serve need to be commended. Or to acknowledge them. The honest truth is that when we serve God in this world, we often don't get the recognition that we should get. We often don't get recognition for what we do. In fact, a lot of our service is done that nobody else knows anything about. So the only person who can recognize us is God. They can see our faithfulness, but God is the only one who knows what we do. But times our service will cost us something. That's sacrifice of our time, our efforts, our money. Oftentimes we're misunderstood. We're falsely accused. It cost us sometimes a great price and sacrifice. But folks, there's nothing better in the world than for us to give our lives away in service unto Jesus Christ. And that ultimately means we will serve other people, because that's the way we demonstrate that. But our greatest recognition, our greatest commendation, is going to come one day. Whether the world ever recognizes it or ever knows what price we paid, there's coming a day when God, who keeps perfect records, who knows everything we've done, and we'll stand before, as we've served Him, we'll stand before Him to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I ask you today, will you be saved? If you're not saved, will you trust Him today and be converted? That's your greatest need. Then as a Christian, your greatest commitment, your greatest devotion, you might call it the addiction, is to give yourself away to Jesus. It might change something, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, what do? But to give ourselves away to Jesus Christ, to pay the price, to do sometimes what we don't feel like doing, but we pay the price anyway. Be addicted to service. What is it God wants you to do? What is His will for your life today? Father, we thank You today for the opportunity we have to be here at this moment. We're thankful again for this day and for these men who have served, so that we could have freedom to be able to talk about Jesus. But we pray that You'll help us to understand that our greatest life, and the life that gives us the most meaning, is a life that we give when we give ourselves away to You and we serve You. Draw us to the place of commitment and devotion in our own heart and our own life. We pray that we'll honor You by how we live. In Jesus' name we ask it. As we stand together and as we sing, if God has planted a decision on your heart you know you need to make, we ask you to come today.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.